I'd like to spend a few moments to discuss the concept of synchronicity versus asynchronicity in database systems, in message queues such as RabbitQ and Kafka, and in programming. I believe this is where it was most popularized. Let's jump into it. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. And the definition of synchronous versus asynchronous is, when you read it, it doesn't make any sense. So the best way to understand the synchronicity and asynchronicity is really just put it in practice. If you have an operation that you called, right, and you made a method call, if that operation blocks you for the duration of the execution and it does everything in its own unit while you're blocked, then that's synchronous. And during the period from which this operation is doing its work, you are effectively blocked. You cannot resume and do anything. You're just waiting for the result of the operation. And the moment this operation fully completes, and emphasis on fully completes here, right, and then returns a result to you, right, you are unblocked and you can continuing execution. So what's the problem with that, with synchronous operations? Main problem is while I am blocked, I can really do other things technically, right? So I can call this method, and while it's doing its thing, I can really do other stuff, right? Because I'm not really, as a client, I'm not really doing anything, right? So this is where asynchronous behavior comes into the picture. It says, okay, right, here's what we can do. I'm going to call this function, right? And we're going to immediately get you back a result. Not really, it's not really the final result. It's a promise for a result. It's a future result. That's what it's called in C++, I believe, right? It's something that, hey, we're gonna get you the result, but I have scheduled successfully the function call or this operation call. And this operation can do literally anything. It can use a single threaded model like Node.js or really the JavaScript model, where it just will look for period of idle, anything where the function is idle, and we'll just, hey, I'm going to execute that stuff during that time. Or it can execute the workload on another thread or another process, or guess what, in another machine altogether. Doesn't matter. While this operation is being executed on any other realm, I can do my own stuff, right? And I can do my own job. And when that operation completes, it can call me back with a result, right? So when I get called back with this result, that's the initial model, I can do this stuff, right? So now when I get back the call back with the results, I would have gotten the result. But during that time, I wasn't really blocked. I could have done anything else. Very popular methods. This is basically what's referred to as asynchronous operations. Asynchronous operation, synchronous operation. So we want to take it to the next level. It's very critical to understand the difference between the two because they show up everywhere, right? Specifically in the backend. They show up everywhere, right? They show up in databases. They show up in message queuing. They show up in programming or daily, day-to-day programming, the operations that you do. So Let's take some examples of that now that we have defined what synchronous versus asynchronous mean. And by the way, if you want to dive into details, I made a video on synchronous versus asynchronous with examples. Check it out if you want more definition than that. So for the first example is in programming, for the longest time, most operations when I used to program in the early 2000s were synchronous. There was no concept of asynchronous as far as I know. Like, you call a function, you are blocked. You cannot do anything. For even in those early days when I used to build VB6 app and early VB.NET apps and C# apps, even the UI wasn't refreshing if you called asynchronous methods. Man, this is a pain. How do you say synchronous methods without adding an A, right? So I'm just going to say synchronous method. If you call any synchronous methods, you're technically blocked. So even the UI didn't have a way to refresh. And then later we had this thing that's called do events in VB6. I don't know if anyone of you guys remember this stuff. Do events, you do that so that, hey, while this is actually executing, you can still do some other work in the back end. So some hacks and workarounds. And then this was enhanced by adding the concept of async await, right? And then I think it's in pretty much every programming language has this concept of async await, whether in C# and in JavaScript, obviously, it's there with promises, right? You call a function and then you're not really blocked and waiting for this function to finish. No, you can do other stuff as well, right? You're not just sitting there idle. And that's the main problem. So you might say, Hussein, isn't asynchronous thing is the best, right? Well, we're going to come to that, right? So while synchronous, the JavaScript eventually initially tried to solve it with callbacks. That was a terrible model. We all have seen those functions that has a callback, and then you, in the callback, you call another function that has a callback, or another function has a callback. So yeah, not readable at all. So promises kind of simplified that, and async await kind of put a nail on the coffin and says, yeah, this is the best thing ever. Now your code looks synchronous, like as if you're blocked, right? But you're not really blocked. The main thread is squeezing any idle time you might have, right? But giving you the behavior of synchronicity, right? But the whole thing is almost asynchronous. You call a method. If you're calling a network, right, REST API, now I don't have to sit here and wait for anything. Well, technically you are waiting, but while you're waiting, your thread of execution can do other stuff that you might have. Like, it can respond to events that you click on a button. It can respond to animation that you might have in the browser. And that kind of applies to literally anything. Like, if you can respond to a timer that triggers every second, it can do stuff. Imagine this was not possible 20 years ago. Yikes, right? So it was possible, but with hacks. But yeah, so asynchronous, synchronicity, very simple thing. And then that was in programming. We brought it in message queues, especially now we move to back-end programming, right? If I have a service on the back-end that does certain amount of work, right? I don't know, it does some execution and maybe queries a database and get some results and morph this result to something else. It has some sort of an X amount of execution time, right? And that is, depends how you define long, but it's long effectively, right? So engineer said, sure, I can call this REST call, right? This network call, I can call it asynchronously from the client, or pay attention to that. So I am asynchronous here at the client side. Yeah, I made the call. The backend is executing that call synchronously, technically. So from the, from if you If you put like a lens, where are you looking here? If you're looking at the back end, you're synchronous. You're executing things synchronously because you're blocked technically, right? Whoever called this is blocked. But from the client perspective, you called it asynchronously, right? So you did not receive the results yet. You called it and then you moved along and doing other thing. So the asynchronicity at the client side is different from the back. So now, that wasn't scalable for, because what happened if that operation failed? Like, okay, you can retry. So saying, I'm just going to retry. But that wasn't scalable. So people introduced this asynchronous execution at the backend level in a form of queues, right? A very basic, beautiful data structure. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. You can call this method as long-running operation, but we're not going to actually call it. We're just going to add it to a queue. And the fact by us and the backend adding your request to a queue, that in itself is a synchronous operation that it takes milliseconds to execute. Hey, adding to a queue. And then I can return the operation being a success to the client who called it. So now it was an immediate, almost immediate execution. Did we get the result? No, we did not. But to the client, we technically got a result. And now you can argue, oh, this is not the actual result. Well, we got a job ID, we got a queue ID, we got something in the client side, right? And now the client is responsible to pull the result. So now you can pull, okay, send another request. Am I done yet? And the fact, just the nature of this polling is also synchronous, right? Because, hey, calling this and get the result back, right? Hey, it's not there. Calling is not there. So the whole thing is still synchronous, but the whole backend operation, if you look at it as a whole, that is an asynchronous execution with the help of this queues, right? So the entry that we added is effectively a message. That's how message queues is able to scale, right? Because I don't want to put the burden, right, on execution failure on the client. So, hey, if this failed, I'm gonna retry it later on the back end. Right? So we just performed asynchronous execution of a job on the back end. So this is what is called the asynchronous execution, but we talk it in another lens. It's at the back end level. So technically I called your method and I immediately got a result back, right? Although technically the method was not finished, right? Sound familiar, right? It's very similar to calling a local method that you call and you immediately get a future or a promise, right? Let's say, hey, oh, something is almost done here, right? So I'm doing the execution on the background, technically. If we zoomed out, this is very similar to calling a network call and having the back end asynchronously on the back end doing its own job and executing the job on the back end. So that's another way of looking at asynchronous execution, but from a different lens, if that makes sense, right? So calling the method, immediately get a result, but now you're responsible as a client to poll. All right, and we can do all sorts of things like long polling, or you can have the server actually pushes the result. disadvantages and advantages for every single method. I talked about these things and many times in this channel. But yeah, asynchronous execution on the back end is, and there is another name for it, not really official, it's like asynchronous service. So if you heard this term, asynchronous service, that's a service that you call that doesn't immediately give you the raw final result, right? When it finishes. No, it gives you a placeholder for you to come back and check if that job is done, right? So asynchronously on the back end is gonna do some work, but you can check back with me at a given amount of time if that job is done or not. So queue is very, very popular, right? That is one of the ways that backends can scale effectively. Take YouTube, for example. If you upload a raw video now, YouTube has to do a lot of work. And it's impossible to do this synchronously right after you upload the video. Imagine uploading a video and YouTube has to compress the video. You'd have to do a codec for the video. Has to produce 480p, 720p, 1080p, and 4K. All these formats has to produce them while you, as a client, just waiting for the upload, right? Imagine if any of these operations fail. Your upload will fail, right? It's impossible to do it. So what you do is upload that file and then just tell me, hey, here is your YouTube ID, but I'm not done yet. The moment you say I'm not done yet, that's asynchronous, right? Because you give me a partial result, which is the ID of the YouTube video, but you're still checking for copyright infringement, checking for content ID, checking for compressing the video, doing all of this stuff. How do you possibly gonna do that? Message queues and pop subsystems help real-time messaging effectively help in doing that, right? So you're gonna probably create multiple topics if you can use Kafka, and asynchronously you're gonna pick up the jobs, different jobs, and all these processes gonna pick up these stuff. All right, this is another example of an asynchronous execution in message queues and pop subsystems, right? So we've seen the synchronous execution versus asynchronous execution in programming, normal day-to-day programming. We've seen it in back-end systems, network backing systems, with message queues and pop subsystems, right? You submit something and the back-end immediately responds to you with a placeholder. And then asynchronously on the back-end, it actually continues execution, this stuff. Right. And then finally, the example, my favorite, is how databases actually do these asynchronous versus synchronous operations, right? So most databases have this feature that's called synchronous replication, right? So if you have a replicated database system where you have a primary database and you have, I don't know, three worker database systems. So if you issue a write to the primary, right? The worker nodes need to have knowledge of this write that you have made, right? Because you want to keep the whole system consistent, right? You want this to hold, the whole thing to be consistent. Well, you can do this. You can issue the update statement or the insert statement or the delete statement in the primary, right? And then block the client. Do not return success to the client who issued this DML. Just block and wait there. And in the background, the primary is going to issue three calls to each of the worker nodes. Delete, 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 or insert, insert, or update. Issue the same DML. And if you're going to wait for the first node and the second one and the third node, for a success on all of them. And if all of them succeeds, then you're gonna get all of them succeeds on the primary, get these messages. Only then the message, right, will be delivered to the client that says, your write have seen succeed. Despite the initial write actually succeeding on the primary database. Because I wrote, I issued a write to the primary, yet I have blocked for the duration of execution in all the worker nodes. Yikesy. That is called synchronous replication. Very, very popular for strong consistency. If you want to guarantee strong consistency, you have to do synchronous commits, right? Synchronous replication, synchronous commits, another thing. The other face of this coin is asynchronous replication. So you're going to issue a write to this primary database, but immediately get a success when the write effectively succeeds on the primary. That is, if you write successfully to the wall record, right? The write ahead log, and then get back the results. But you say, oh, Jose, wait a second, how about these worker nodes? Well, I don't really care, right? Let them asynchronously, let the database asynchronously update this thing. To me, I wrote successfully. Why do I have to wait for all these suckers to write to their own local data files? I don't care. Okay? So when you do that, what do you get? Asynchronous replication gets you beautiful, fast writes, blazing fast writes, because you're just writing to one thing and one thing only, right? Just that primary database. So your writes are fast, but do you get consistency? Nah, because the moment you write and then you return success, if you immediately follow it up with a read, your read might be load balanced to one of the replicas. And if you go to that replica while your write haven't asynchronously finished yet, writing to the replica, you're going to get the stale version. That's what happened to YouTube back in 2006, 2007, right? People will go to their profile picture and doesn't do an update. And what do? Save. And the first thing they do, refresh the page. When you refresh the page, reads were configured to be read from the replicas. That's how you basically make it fast, right? It's like, hey, I want to scale my reads. Let them go to my replicas, to my worker node, and my writes goes to the primary. That was like the basic, simplest design that you can build. And when you do that, refreshing the profiles, I say, what? I don't see my change. What happened? I took this. This is an example from the YouTube lead. I think Sugo Marang. I hope I didn't butcher his name. Right, he's the creator of he maintained YouTube for a long time. He's a creator of Vitas, which is the MySQL plugin that allow you to scale MySQL shards. Basically, does like a logical layer in MySQL sharding. Beautiful, beautiful product. So when users were confused, like, wait, I just wrote. What the heck happened? So that's the result of eventual consistency. Yeah, sure. Eventually, we're going to be consistent. The whole system is going to be consistent, right? But at that point, you can decide, hey, it's not really a big deal. Refresh again. Keep refreshing. You're going to see your change, right? But YouTube fixed it differently at that end, right? They said, okay, if you're coming from the same IP address and you just issued a write, I'm going to point your read to the primary node so you always see your change. So they did this hack so that people don't freak out. Nothing wrong with that. To me, that's always a good solution temporarily for that fix, right? It's like, and they got fast writes and they got consistent results because they kind of played it sticky, if you think about it. Like they issued a sticky read in this particular case. So synchronous replication, asynchronous replication, a lot of databases support this. It's a plug you can do, right? It's just a tuning option you can do. If you want a strongly consistent result, go with synchronous, but you suffer with your writes are going to be slower, obviously, right? But if you want fast writes, but you're fine if your read gets, like, I don't know, a little bit of staler result. I don't know if you're building Instagram, you have a little bit of a staler number of likes. Who cares, right? Yeah, so it really depends on use case. There's no right or wrong, right? So another option with synchronicity is this thing that's called synchronous commits. And I don't know if other databases support it, but Postgres have this option that you can turn on. So synchronous commits, it by default is scary, right? It's like, okay, synchronous commits. Like just you, Hussein, saying synchronous commits, that implies there is an asynchronous commits, right? This is not something you play with. This is scary. Because what is a commit? A commit doesn't mean, okay, I am doing all my transaction and I'm issuing all these beautiful operations, and all of a sudden, finally I say commit my changes, and that writes basically a record that says this is final, this please make this changes durable on disk, so that durability, right? Committing is a very critical thing on database. When I say commit and you tell me that it succeeds, I better not lose this. If the moment you tell me my commit succeed, I can turn off the power at that exact millisecond, and I can turn back the database back on, and my change should be there. That's what durability is. When you tell me, as long as you tell me my commit succeed, if you don't tell me my commit succeeds, all bets are off. But if I commit my changes and even the moment, just a fraction of a millisecond later, the power went off, my changes should be durable. That's what the definition of commit. That's technically what a synchronous commit is. When you do a commit, you immediately flush all these things to disk. And you can imagine how slow can this be if your transaction is so large and it has to flush all this writes to disk, right? I know databases kind of flush to disk as you... They assume they are optimistic. Most databases have this optimistic model. It's like, okay, I trust you. You're not going to roll back or fail. So I'm going to write to disk. And at the end, that's at least what Postgres does. At the end, when you do a commit, oh, I already flushed all these to disk. I have only few things to flush to disk. Done, right? Other databases are not write. They write to memory instead. And then when you commit, they flush things from memory to disk, and that takes more time. Right, that's why commits in Postgres are blazing fast, because they write to disk all the time, and then they, in the case of a failure, then they figure out how they can roll back these stale changes that they shouldn't be in disk anymore. So yeah, Postgres have this option too, called synchronous commits. Where they, when you issue a commit, I'm gonna block you until all of these writes physically are on disk. Emphasis on physically. There is a quote here with fsync and how operating system cache works. I'm not gonna go into that here. It deserves its own video, but let's assume it's physically written to disk, right? For example's sake. So now there is another option for the brave called asynchronous commits. Yes, you heard me right. That means if I issue a commit, I'm gonna immediately get a success. So my transactions are, I don't know what's that, but they're fast. They are blazing fast because, hey, I just commit. I'm going to asynchronously commit your changes while you just have the, you're gonna enjoy the fast commits. Well, you might say, Hussein, what if the asynchronously there was a failure? Yep. This is a thing that you take a risk for. There is a high chance of data loss, because when in synchronous operations, in synchronous commits, when the Postgres or any other database tells you commit succeeds, you can guarantee that it's actually commit succeed. But in asynchronous mode, when you say commit succeed, you cannot trust it. You can turn off the power right after that success, and your data might not be there. Sorry. Yes. But I have this option actually turned on, asynchronous operation. It's actually, the option is called synchronous commits, and that's on by default in Postgres, and I have it turned off on my testing database because it's just for running tests. And I load data on a daily basis. I flush the database and load stuff daily basis. So I want fast transaction. And I know asynchronously, I'm not going to have a power outage. And if it did, big deal. I'm just going to reload the data, right? For running daily tests, it's amazing. My transactions finish way much faster. Not as fast as I would like, but they're fast. There's not much big difference that I saw, right? Yeah, asynchronicity everywhere. Final example, fsync. That's it. I said I'm not going to mention it, but I'm going to mention it. So fsync, what is this? So this is an operating system level thing. When you ask your operating system to write to disk, the OS is actually sneaky. They don't write physically to disk. They write to their own operating system cache because most applications, you know, when they write a lot, right? They issue a lot of writes. So operating system kind of batches these writes. It's okay. I know you want to write to disk, but wait for a few milliseconds. Cache all these things in my own operating system cache, which is in memory. And then I'm going to flush them to disk. So it's very similar to synchronous commit. It's going to flush them physically to the disk after a period of time. I don't know how long, but it could be 300 milliseconds, could be 10 milliseconds. Who knows? I don't know, to be honest. You might say, Hussein, but if I write something and I read it, I see it immediately in the operating system. What are you talking about? Well, the operating system had the full control. Of course, they're going to give you the results from the latest fresh cache. They're not going to go to the disk and read a stale value for you, right? So the operating system, at the end of the day, it's the barest thing to the metal, right? So if you issue a write, it always goes through an OS, right? So in databases, this is unacceptable. Most databases turn this capability off. It's like, OS caching, yuck, I don't want it. If I tell you to write OS, you better write to disk. Don't do this. Operating system hacky caches. I don't care. I want to maintain durability. Right? I am a database. God damn it. I'm a database. So if I tell you to commit and or write this thing, you better write, especially wall changes. Wall changes, this write ahead logs. This, you cannot play with those. You cannot play with databases like index. I don't care if the index didn't get updated. I have my wall changes here, which says update blah blah blah. That's like almost like a journal. This have to be flushed to this because of the durability. Yikesy, bad thing. So this option is turned on by default, I believe, in Postgres, but you can turn it off too, and it gives you very similar to synchronous versus asynchronous, right? Think about it. The OS cache is an asynchronous operation because you told the operating system to write to this, but it didn't. It gives you a partial result. It says, yeah, I wrote, but it says, idiot, I didn't really write it to this. I write it to my cache. But yeah, asynchronously, it's going to flush it to disk. And there is a good reason for the OS to do that, because if you issue a lot of writes, writing to disk, really a hard drive, is going to be slow. So operating system try to batch as much of write as possible, so that if there is a disk page that receives a lot of writes, is gonna all these writes become in memory, and then you flash this write one shot to the database, right, to the disk immediately, right? Right. Versus imagine you're updating the same page and every single update to the page, you go to the disk and slam it, right? It's like ta. You just updated the same page 10 times, right? So you're going to issue 10 IOs. In the case of OS, you updated 10 times in the cache, and the OS will write it only once. This also gives you the SSD. If in case if you're using an SSD, it's going to prolong the life of the SSD. Because SSDs, if there's one thing the SSD hates, is writing in the same page multiple times. Yikesy. I know SSDs does all this kind of garbage collection and it just tries to move things around into new pages so it can reuse different pages. But yeah, nevertheless, this video went too long, I guess, guys, huh? Sorry about that. But asynchronicity, synchronous operations versus asynchronous operation, they are everywhere. They are everywhere. And tell me, guys, give me examples where you prefer synchronicity over asynchronicity, right? Let me know in the comment section below. I am going to see you on the next one. You guys stay awesome, all this.